God is good, and God has planted this church for such a time as this. All throughout our history, we've been a point in this community, a lighthouse. Praise God. Amen. I'll just open in prayer, and then we'll start. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness to this congregation, to every member of this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, that you pour out to us all the time. The love that you have for your children, which is so vast, which is so beyond what we can measure, which is so beyond what we can even imagine. How great the Father's love for us. Lord, we just thank you for this time to be in your presence, to honor you and to put you first in our lives. Lord, this is not a chore. This is our reward. This is part of our reward, the coming together and lifting up the name of Jesus. Lord, we just are so grateful and so thankful. And Lord, I just yield myself right now to say what you would have me to say, to be your vessel this morning, Father. And I just give you praise and I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. John is away. He is with Gabriel, Hope, and Isaac. They're in Bradford at a tournament. And they just won their semifinal game. So they're on to the finals. Woohoo! So that game is at 12 something. I'm not sure 12 when, but something. 12 o'clock somewhere. Sorry, today. Today. So anyway, yeah. They've had quite a time, I guess. Not everybody is happy when you win. Especially the other team. So anyway, I'll have you turn to James chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 14, and that's kind of just to set the mood for what I'm going to share this morning. James chapter 4, verse 14, and it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be done on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Right? That's what the scripture says. So to help me illustrate this point, I asked my girls if they would bring this for me. This is your life. Do you see that? Okay, let's do it again. Anybody see that? This is your life. You got it? If you live really long, this is your life. Everybody got that? Okay, so if that's how long it takes, what should we focus on during that? What should our focus be? God, people. Sermon's done. If that is our life, if that is the duration of our life, what should we take our time doing? Serving the Lord. Bringing people into eternity with us. Taking as many people with us as we possibly can. And I just feel so strong in my heart that we're wasting precious time on things that don't matter. And I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about playing video games. I'm not talking about playing hockey. I'm not talking about what else is a good waste of time? Doing crossword puzzles. I'm not talking about that stuff. What we as believers waste our time on is much deeper than the outward stuff. We as believers waste our time on arguing about colors in church buildings. And I know we don't here, because remember I started off saying we're an awesome church? But we talk about the clothes people wear. We talk about the hairdos. We talk about how many children some people think they have to have. Right? We get consumed with what other people are doing, and instead of praying for them, enough said. So let's go to our church scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. And I say it's our church scripture because it's the one that was Pastor Ward's favorite, and it's now on the wall. And we might not start Okay, so I always, when I want to start in verse 25, but it starts with therefore. And when you see the word therefore, what are you supposed to do? See what it's there for, right? That makes sense. So let's start at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I'm just gonna skip back. Who in this building is taller than 6 feet? Mr. Atkinson. Why did I even have to ask that, Mr. Pizzou? You're pretty tall too, aren't you? Just 6 feet, okay. Just even. Okay, well that makes you short then. Okay, so anybody else 6 foot and over? There's a couple, right? Yeah, on the inside. We're not counting the inside, or we'd all be standing up here, Rita. I would be standing, well, I am standing up, but not because I'm 6 feet or anything close to it. Okay, so I want to just ask you guys a question, and I want you to shout out your answer, okay? What did you do to deserve being 6 feet tall?
Nothing.
All right, so he ate all his vegetables. I gotta give him that. Okay, I thought I ate my vegetables, but apparently not. Okay, so really, Mr. Peugeot, ate all your vegetables? Jeremy, ate all your vegetables, apparently. Okay, so aside from that, you did nothing. Just happened to be the lucky recipient of the right amount of genes from the taller person in your family. My sister got my dad's genes, I got my mom's. Thank you very much. right? And so we can't add to or take away from our stature, right? What you're, I'm not at all scientifically, I don't have knowledge of, but I do remember in high school learning about genetics to a small degree, DNA, you know, you get this gene, and together the recessive gene, and then there's a dominant gene, and that's as far as we're going to go, because I don't know much more beyond that. But you know, you understand that there's a dominant gene and a recessive gene that determines eye color, it determines hair color, it determines height, it determines lots of things, correct? Okay, so what you get is all you can work with, right? And so we don't get taller because we're better, right? So these are things that we shouldn't even take thought of. Now, in that same section of scripture that I just read to you, it talked about height. And we all get it when it comes to height, right? Everybody gets it. We don't look down on people that are short, but we do. Okay. Okay, so we don't look down on people that are short. We don't look down on people that are tall. Right? For obvious reasons. But we understand it when it comes to height. We totally get it. Right? This is who you are. This is how you're made. But there's just as much scripture talking about not making a fuss about clothes. And not making a fuss about food. And not making a fuss about the outward stuff. It's summing up what outward stuff means. Thank you. For those of you who didn't hear, outward stuff means nothing. That's not what this life is about. You know, when I first came to Canada, I was in grade 5, and I want to say that my mom and dad were on a spiritual quest, so to speak. My mom was dabbling in New Age, and by the grace of God, we moved to Apsley, where she could not get a hold of any New Age stuff. And then Dorothy and Josie and some other wonderful ladies got a hold of the fact that there was a new family in town and we need to pray for them. And they did, praise God. And so my mom and dad were looking for God. They were just looking in the wrong places. And when I look back now and I see, you know, how God moved in our family and you know, the whole grandma and grandpa kicking us out of the home and us coming to church, I just see how God drew us and got us into this place where he could use us, right? And I knew enough about God at the time. You have to think I was like 11. And I went to school, and when it came to Easter, we came here in November. By Easter, I could understand and speak a little bit of English. That was a lot of blah, blah, blah for a long time. But I was getting that I could talk and interact with the other kids. And one of the girls said to me, one of the girls that was a Christian, she was born again, she said to me, "Are you going to church for Easter?" And I said to her, yeah, I am. And she said, "Do you have a nice dress?" And something on the inside of me got so mad. Because I thought, Is that all it's about? Having a nice dress for Easter? And I was not born again at the time. But I knew that there was more to Easter than wearing a nice dress.
Even at that age.
I knew that there was more to Easter than a new dress. And this is what this is talking about. This scripture is talking about your life is more than what to put on and all this stuff. And let me tell you, when you're standing up here, I appreciate y'all wearing clothes. This is good. Right? As much as you appreciate me wearing clothes. You know, we're grateful that we took the time this morning. But it's not what should be consuming us. It's not what should be the first thing we think about. You know, even I think as, you know, as a mom, as a wife, you know, Rita was saying that Mike wanted food. Go figure. Like, our families want food. Joseph came into my room early this morning. And early to me may not be early to some, so I'm not going to tell you what time. It was early. And he wanted me to make him a peanut butter and jam sandwich right then. And I said, Joseph, the sun isn't up. We're not having peanut butter and jam. He said, okay, can I lay with you then? I said, yes, you may. That we can do. So, but you know, kids want food, your husbands want food, and so we do have sort of a plan. I don't adhere to the plan all the time. You know, sometimes we skip out on our plan. But you have a plan. You have kind of an idea of what we're going to eat tonight, what we're going to eat, you know, at lunchtime. Right? Do we make plans like that?
Yes,
we do. And we need to, because we're still on planet Earth, where you need food to live. But it shouldn't be the most consuming thing. That's all this is talking about. All right, so we got to that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, right? Therefore, what it's there for, all the stuff above. Take no thought, saying. This is another good spot that I'm going to stop right there. Take no thought, saying. I'm just going to say this morning and the last little while, I've been talking about words in my earlier morning session. And the more I've read about it and studied about it, the more I realize how forcible our right words. That's scripture. How forcible our right words. How important it is that we speak right words. And the only way you can really manage your words is by managing what you take in. By managing what you listen to. I'm not going to, for those of you who are here this morning, I'm not going to repeat myself completely. But what we yield ourselves to, what we listen to, what we hear on a constant basis, it will affect the words that you speak. You know, you can say, oh, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't bother me. I can listen to whatever and it doesn't bother me. You know what? It's you're deceiving your own self. Because it comes there, the things that come into us that we meditate on, that we think about, that we dwell on, they shape our thinking. And can I tell that story again? Okay, I'm going to tell this story again, because this is it just happened this week. John's not here. And I can share the story again. Okay, so you know that John likes watching like mysteries, right? Have you ever heard him say that he likes watching like real life stuff? He likes watching Cops and 48 hours and stuff like that, okay? If you didn't know it before, now you know now. Okay, so John has a business associate that is a U.S. citizen, so he spends 6 months of the year in the U.S. and is currently there, and 6 months of the year here. And John does a lot of stuff for him, and so because John is working with this guy's money, he stays in contact with John and talks to him every week. And not only in business, but he knows that our kids are into hockey. He was actually a referee for NHL hockey at one point in his life. And so this guy knows a lot about hockey. And so he asks about our kids. He asks about Hope. He asks about Isaac, Gabriel, all the younger ones specifically, how they're doing in hockey. And so he was talking to John once a week. And then he would say, hey, John, remember the variance meeting coming up? Or remember this permit that has to be handed in? Things like that, just to make sure that John was, you know, keeping on top of his stuff. And so John heard from him once a week at least. And if John phoned him to ask him a question, he would always get back to John within 24 hours. This communication stopped about 4 weeks ago. And John would leave messages. He had 4 phone numbers for this guy. He had 2 phone numbers for another business guy associated closely with him. And they were both in the U.S. And so John would phone these numbers. And after a while, when your machine gets full, it just goes straight to a voicemail. It doesn't even ring anymore. And so this is what was happening. It was going straight to voicemail. And John was getting concerned because this guy is very wealthy. He just bought 3 houses in Naples, Florida. And he's just, you know, when you have money, you might be a target. So John shared with me Friday night, I think it was Friday night, he said, Julia, I'm really concerned about this guy. Like, he hasn't talked to me in 4 weeks. It's just not like him. It's not like him to not get back to me. He says, I've texted, I've emailed, I phoned, I leave messages, and there is no word. He says, and he has no family. So he says, I wonder if, you know, if his workers did him in. And nobody's going to report him missing because nobody's missing him except for me. He's like, I don't know. I think I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to phone this other guy and see if I can make a connection there. And so I teased John, and I said, I think you've been watching your criminal shows a little too much. He said, no. He says, it's not like that. He said, it has nothing to do with that. I have been in contact with him, and now nothing for 4 weeks. It's not even normal. It's not like him at all. And so I teased him a little bit more, and he was adamant that I was wrong and that there was indeed something, some foul play. So it just so happened that the other business guy that's associated as well flew into Toronto Friday, and he saw that John Trotter had phoned him. So he phoned the guy in the U.S., and he phoned John around 10:30 that night. And he said, hey, I hear you've been trying to get a hold of me. And John's like, oh my goodness, like I was going to have authorities call, and like I was going to call the authorities and have them look for you because I was really getting concerned. He says, no, he said, John, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I got 2 bills from my mobility bill, like, you know, cell phone bills. And they were $300 each. And he said, there is no way that I'm spending that kind of money every month. I am not joking. There is a reason why millionaires are millionaires. Okay, so anyway, he said, there is no way that I'm paying $300 a month. So he said, I cut off all my phones. He said, I got a new one. And then he said, I got pulled back into work for a company that I used to work with, and they were kind of, you know, going through a slump. So I said to them I'd help them. So I've been working 14 hours a day, and I'm so sorry. And John's like, well, now I feel really stupid. He said, oh, no, gosh, I'm glad that somebody cares about me. That's, you know, how he took it. So anyway, John got off the phone, and I'm just sitting there smiling. And I said, so you don't think you've been watching those shows too much? No, no, it's not like that. So here, I just thought, what a perfect example of what we think about affects. You know, the truth is, it did look a little bit weird, right? Oh, the other thing I have to tell you is John said to him, I thought, you know, your Mexican workers maybe knocked you off. He goes, John, they're Cubans. So, anyway, but you know, we meditate on things, we think about certain things, we listen to the news, and for those of you who didn't hear me earlier, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but when you listen to certain newscasts, news places, I won't mention any letters like CNN or anything, I won't say that. But when you listen to that stuff, you know what? I want to tell you this. I'll just interject this right here. When you listen to that any length of time, it influences your thinking. It absolutely does. Remember when the Twin Towers were hit? Okay. If I saw, now I'm not going to exaggerate because I'm trying to really not exaggerate because I don't want to lie to myself. Okay. If it had been a month ago or 2 months ago, I would have said that if I saw the planes hit, once I saw them hit a million times, I didn't. But if I saw those planes hit those two towers once, I bet I saw them hit those towers at least 50 times. Just watching CNN for a period of a week. The image that you kept seeing over and over was planes going into buildings, planes going into buildings. Planes going into buildings. Why do you think after that attack nobody was flying in airplanes?
Fear.
Fear. So when you listen to fear propaganda or you listen to faith, it's going to affect. It's going to change your thinking. So anyway, we'll get right back to here. But how did I get off on that? It was an example, a good one, right? A good example. Okay. So it says, therefore, take no thought saying. That's what it was. Take no thought saying, because we don't take a thought until we say it. You don't take a thought until you speak it out your mouth. You can have all kinds of thoughts going through your head. It's not until you start speaking them out your mouth that you're in trouble, if they're bad. Right? Remember, Marilyn's gonna laugh when I say this, because this was a long time ago and I didn't have any real good examples. So I keep going back to this one. It's still not a good example. I don't want you to get the wrong impression of me. Anybody ever see a Brinks truck and think, we should take that thing? Okay, it's so good not to be alone. Okay, so anyway, you know, I would never, ever rob a Brinks truck. Just to have this on record, it's being recorded. You're my witnesses. But do the thoughts come? Okay, that's not Julia Trotter's thought. It isn't. The thoughts come. And usually when they're outlandish like that, I say it because I'm trying to help you all, but we don't say these things, right? We don't say, you know what, that's a good idea. I'm going to plan this. I'm going to plan the perfect crime. Because we don't take those thoughts saying. Well, some people do, but we don't, right? Nobody? No, we don't. No, not an Alpha Community Chapel member. We will never be on the headline, right? member of OPSA Community Chapel, taken into custody after robbing a Brinks truck. Okay, so here you have, we don't take those thoughts saying. Why don't we take those thoughts? Because that's a fool thought. But there are other thoughts that we take saying. There are thoughts that we take, you're not good enough. You don't deserve this. Who do you think you are? What right have you got? Why should it happen for you? Look at who it didn't happen for. Anybody ever have that thought? Where we think, for some reason, that we have disqualified ourselves to receive the good that God has for us. So it says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we, for withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And this is what we're supposed to do instead. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I want to just focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then knowing that all these other things that we have need of will be taken care of, will be added unto us. Because when you seek God first, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in the Amplified Version it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things and being right. See, because the way God works is not necessarily the way we work. The way God works, because God is love, he's got greater things on his mind than piercings. He has greater things on his mind than tattoos. He has greater things on his mind than all the outward stuff that we could get consumed with. And this is what I started off saying earlier. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to, you know, take it the wrong way. What are we going to do, when we have somebody come in with whiskers? I don't mean unshaven. I mean implanted cat whiskers. You laugh. There are cat conventions. There are people that think they're cats, and they have their lips split, and they have whiskers implanted, and they go to conferences and meow and purr. What are we going to do when we greet someone in the morning and they go, meow? You're going to have a cat fight. You know, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when we have people that are looking for the truth? Right? I mean, gosh, yes, we're praying for them, but we got to love them, right? Because thank God they are here. And so, you know, we have to start operating the way God operates. And God very much overlooks all that superficial stuff. Look at what he's looking at every day. That went right over everybody's head. Good. But that's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with me. He has to deal with all my little big stuff. The stuff that I know better than to reveal. Right? And God overlooks all my quirkiness and all my wrong thoughts that I lay hold of by saying. And so he does the same with everybody. And that's, see, this is, I listened to Jerry Savelle for a very short time, and he just, the little thing that we have to take away from God is that his ways are perfect, first of all. Right? His way is perfect. And all this other stuff, God will do in those that we pray for. And let me just say this. The things that might irritate me that I see in somebody else, okay, just the things that I get irritated by that I see in somebody else, it is possible, even probable, that I might be wrong. Right? It is possible, sometimes highly probable, that my opinion is just that, my opinion. I'm going to quote two preachers. Rodney Howard Brown says that everybody has an opinion. Opinions are like armpits. They stink. Yeah, love it. The other one is that opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, and they're usually full of holes. Come on. It's kind of funny, right? We just don't like to admit it. Right? It's just maybe our preference. It's just maybe what I think. But let's see what God has to say about it. And you know, I've shared this multiple times, and it's worth sharing again. I had a lady phone me one time, and she wanted to get her belly button pierced. I didn't ask her to phone me and ask me about this. She just thought, phone Julia Trotter and ask her what she thinks about belly button piercings. Okay, so I said to her, well, I said, I can't scripturally argue one way or another. She was, I think she was wanting to hear me say, well, in the Old Testament, it says that you shall not have piercings. But I said, according to the New Testament, you can pretty much do that if you think that's nice. Right? Have you read your New Testament? Are we under law? So if we can't fall back on one thing under law, can we fall back under anything under law? If you show up next week with a bet, no, I'm just joking. I'm not into that. But that's just because I'm not into that. I'm going to tell on John again. He's not here. And you know what? It's not like he takes great care to not expose me to the world. You know, and I'm sitting on the front row, and he just let her rip, let her tear, let her fly. And I can blush, and it doesn't matter to him. He thinks it's funny. So, John Trotter likes tattoos. Yeah, he does. He really does. He likes tattoos. He likes the way they look. He thinks they're sexy. And he just thinks overall that they're very attractive. And you know what? I'm just going to say this. I don't have any. I don't like tattoos. However, I don't care if you have one. or two, or a sleeve of them, or whatever they're called, half sleeve, three-quarter sleeve, full sleeve. I don't care. If you want to put yourself under somebody poking at you with a needle for hours, go at it. The point is, in the light of this, let me make sure I'm not going to spray it in my face. What does it matter? In the light of this, I'm going to do it again. What does it matter? In the light of this, what matters is your heart. In the light of that, what matters is your neighbor. In the light of that, what matters is that person that is far off and thinks they're a write-off because they have a tattoo, or because they have piercings, or because they have whisker implants, or because they think they're a horse. You laugh. There is a school not very far away from this place, and they have horseplay time. And it's not the kind of horseplay that you used to get in trouble for at school, either. Chew on that. Okay. Not trying to be weird this morning. I'm just kind of sharing my heart, because I understand that we get caught up in stuff that we see, and it's stuff that distracts us from the stuff that really means something. The stuff that is inside of people is more valuable than the stuff on the outside of them. It's more precious. Because what did God do? God so loved the world that he gave the best thing he had, which was his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. How many of you would give your son or daughter for one person? I just heard a tragedy about a man who was, I don't know what they were doing on the ice. I don't know what anybody ever does on ice. See, there's my opinion. Right? Have fun ice fishing. Just don't ask me to come along. But anyway, this is tragic. A man and his friend, they were doing something on the ice. One broke through. The other went to save him, and he rescued his friend and drowned himself. That's tragic. He didn't set out to do that, I can guarantee you. He didn't plan this, that I'm going to die so that you could live. It just happened, right? Jesus is the master plan. It was planned from the beginning that he would come in your place, in your stead. The master plan. My life for the world. And that's God's method of operation, and that's how we need to operate. That's how we need to function. That's how we need to live our life. That's how we need to go day by day. Being a light. You know, John always likes to quote, "For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved." I can tell you, you know, I could tell you stories, you could tell me stories about things that would leave us all scratching our heads. How can this be taken for real? How can this be happening? How can this even be considered by government? How can this even be contemplated? We could exchange stories, I'm sure, and one would be greater in craziness than the other. But none of that is going to change what these things that we could tell each other, that's not going to change people's lives. What's going to change people's lives is us standing up for righteousness, us being a light, us extending grace, extending mercy, showing people that you are loved. You are loved. Jesus loves you. You know that song? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. This is how you came. Just as you are. And they are going to come. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. They are going to come just as they are. And we are going to love them just as they are. And we'll leave all the cleaning to God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Yes, it's okay. Come on up.
I love the devotion. And then on the third day when the coffee was
done. Oh, you're not on.
I'm just switching on.
Turn me on. Oh, she's.
Me on,
this is on.
You on?
She's on.
Thank you.
Nope. Do I have to shut up?
Thank you.
Good. Yep, you're there.
Anyway, thank you. I didn't mention I was coughing for 2 days, but anyway, I decided, because I was there, I go shopping. I love going shopping because I'm an evangelist, so I have lots of opportunities. So maybe a couple of years ago, this lady was covered in metal skeletons. Earrings, the things in her face, on her necklace, her hair was orange, and my heart just, you see, that it's the compassion of Christ that's in us. And I just welcomed her. I said, how tall and how precious she was, and it is. And it turned out that she was raised in the church.
Hmm.
And so she received Jesus.
Not saying
that.
Amen.
So you've got it. It's like God's also given me a compassion for street people. People are begging. And I'll go and sit next to them and tell people to put money in their hand. Because he loves.
Amen.
He loves them all.
He loves people. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because he loves people. God loves people. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we got one scripture done. It's good. But it was good, right? It was long. You know, I don't want to just quote scripture. I want to read scripture. Because the Word of God is where our help comes, where our life comes, where I can't emphasize enough the importance of reading your Bible. And so I'm going to do that because I'm up here and you're down there. And read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. read your Bible. Amen. You know what? When you read the Word, it clears up a lot of things that you were unsure about. And sometimes you like it and sometimes you don't. And either way, you got to deal with it, right? But at this time, we're just going to take up the offering. If you have it in your heart to give this morning, I just tell you, giving is just a real sincere act of thanksgiving. We're thankful so we give. Right? We're appreciative for what he's done, so we give. Think of the times when you bless someone just because. Not because it's their birthday, not because it's some special occasion, but just because you want to show them how much you love them. So if you want to give, Father, we just thank you for everyone that gives this morning. Thank you, Lord, for blessing upon blessing upon blessing return to them. Lord, you bless the giver. And every seed that is sown does not return void. God never forgets a sown seed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.